Professor Thornall, because we were on the waiting train, and then we found that we didn't have our luggage with us, because we were so intense to talk, and then we needed to go back to hotel and pick them up, even we planned everything well in advance, so we can be on time in the train, but we were a little bit busy.
Yeah.
Maybe it was not close call, but 5 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit like, put me under stress.
Yeah.
But if I have traveled with my wife, it would have been like 1 minute. And once we traveled in Poland, we were late from train. And then we needed to take night bus in order to get to Gdansk. I have some pictures there. I am sleeping in the area where, in the train station actually, parked in front of train space. But yeah, I find myself always in the situation that it's difficult to get train or bus or so many wonderful things in the life that they are taking interest. Mm. I think we have some great bias with grade school. I think we are trying to, you know, like integrate our program in Vasa Church, Ostrobothnia Bible School, with grade school. And we have now 64 credit program. I think we need 2 more years to work towards that, but they have 61 credit certificate of biblical studies, so we want to go a little bit like toe for toe with that. And then they have bachelor's degree also, so maybe one day we can grant the program that people can be 2 years in the Bible school with us. Then they have some general education, maybe from the college or university, and then they can take 4th year through online, through internet. Maybe concurrently, so then we can give bachelor's degree from accredited undergraduate program. And that would be a little bit like the thing that God has put into my heart, that next generation in Finland. And I'm really thinking about that what I'm seeing, like it took many years to become full-time pastor. I needed to do things on tent making basis, and so we can give education that can open some avenues to complete maybe studies at Finnish universities or universities around the world even, and so it can be like a complementary piece in that thing, and so it's something that people can build on the time that they have spent in the Bible school. And then maybe we can advertise it to other churches too. Like I have talked with my fellow pastors in Vasa. I have 3 good friends. They're actually Swedish speaking, all Leif and then Roger and Stefan. But they don't have much formal education to do the job. Yeah. You know, Leif, he's a school assistant. But then the pastor became old and he said that you're my disciple, you need to take over the pulpit. And then he went to the Bible school for 1 year. Roger is a school teacher. He has not taken single course formal training in the biblical studies. And Stefan was one semester in, I think, I don't know, Oklahoma, Tulsa, I think. He took 7 credits. He had a little bit like a summer intensive, and that's it. And they all said that maybe we can be part of the program, so then we can influence the other churches also, and they can grasp grace message and start teaching those things in their churches. And that's
you could influence me.
Yeah. So.
We are all here to be influenced.
Yeah. So I think education is important. Then we met Dave Anderson, and he said that you need to get deeper than the people who are following you. And that's the whole point of education. It's not something to get degree and opportunity to become pastor or even professor, but we need to get deeper. So there's no point for people to follow any one of us if we don't have direction. And we cannot have direction if we're not getting deeper and deeper in our relationship with God and fellowship with Him. Relationship is established, but we need to get deeper and deeper in our fellowship. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to share today. And in when I was last time here, I touched that issue. I shared something from James. And I think I want to continue from that topic. Mm. So in that time, we read James 1 and part A in that chapter. But I really think that now we can think about how we can get deeper. Then I was thinking about that, what it means to get deeper in the spiritual life, or higher, or how we can say it. And maybe we need to pray for that. Dear Heavenly Father, we are asking that you will bless this word to our hearts, and so we can be edified and we can really enjoy the time around the Word of God. And we are grateful for the body life, what we have in this church, and we're praying for Stockholm Church. And it's amazing that we can give our lives to the study of the Word of God, mm-hmm. but also for one another. So we can really be together in a very special way. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for Pastor Michael inviting me here.
Amen.
I think it's always a privilege to be with him. He's a very special, maybe you don't understand, but maybe you understand.
We understand.
But really, he's the man of God who has gone very deep with God. And you know, he visited us in Easter, and he shared some Hallmark messages. And big part of the thing why I wanted to meet Dave Anderson was that message, that how we can connect the generation who is in the leadership now to the next generation. And I just got an idea that I cannot become younger, I can't experience what it means to be young anymore. But there's one thing, that it's education. It means that we can think the thoughts of God. And that's something that's an experience we can share with one another. And that was an awesome message, and I want to be part of that thing, that I want to think the thoughts of God, and that's the way how we can get deeper and deeper. But we need to do that together. Mm-hmm. And short testimony from Vasa, that is the thing that what we are trying to do. We are outreaching people who are at universities. And we started campus ministry where it's easier. So we had an idea that, actually I had an idea. I remember when I started in 1989 at Boston University, that it was supposed to be away from home in the new city, in the new school. I didn't know almost anyone in the city. And it was nothing actually available. It was a student union. They asked us to be in the club, and it was very obvious that it wasn't a very edifying place. And I was just thinking about how I can get out of this place. I'm in the wrong time, in the wrong place. And actually, I didn't have place to stay overnight because I didn't get an apartment. And one guy, Olli, he offered me place on this floor, and he wasn't a believer at that time. And I shared the gospel to him, and later he became a believer. He's a pastor in East Finland now. So we started that fellowship in that time. And, but anyway, he was shocked too because he hasn't been in army. That was the first time actually he was away from home. And I saw that it was very good situation to serve the gospel if someone was very insecure. So I think maybe a little bit carnally that people are coming from abroad. They are in a different culture with different language, different new school, new friends. They don't know anybody. They must be horrified. So why don't we bring gospel to that situation? And we started with Chinese and then with Africans, and they started to come in. And now we have got also some Finnish students. So we have a nice group of young adults in the church. Mm. And it has been a great thing to be there now, 9 years. Mm. And I'm just welcome to visit in Vaasa. And you can see, you know, you can go to mission field. It takes money to visit in many places to get a good grasp what this mission is all about. But why don't you come to Vaasa? Then you can see the whole world. We have church members from 15 different nationalities. Once we had a meeting that we invited others, and we had 22 different nationalities. They were not church members, but anyway, we served gospel with 22 different nationalities one night. That was great. Okay, let's turn James 1:19. So last time I shared a little bit about tests and trials. And there are like three levels how we are facing trials and difficulties in our lives. The first is that we can become negative. Yeah, we're becoming negative to God. The next level in Christianity is that we're praying for release. It's just God heal me. It's just God give me a new job. Send me money to my bank account, things like that. And the third level is that we're counting then joy. We become grateful for the thing that we can learn wisdom. And that's the thing that we are becoming men and ladies of prayer. So we can ask wisdom to our lives so we can overcome difficulties and trials and tests. So then it's an opportunity to grow actually. And that's why it should be joy. And here is the mission statement of the whole episode. Maybe you can read James 1 and 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And then there is all kinds of great things that trials are producing, like patience and also our faith is growing. When faith is mentioned in James, it's not like a saving faith, because people they are already Christians here, but it's a believer's faith. We trust more and more God, and that's defining our relationship with God. That more we're trusting Him, He's more able to support us in trials and tests, and you know, in life situations in general too. But when we are praying for getting wisdom, so how God is transferring that wisdom for us. And what I'm thinking about that, the answer is in this letter. So it's not something that I have a difficulties and I'm praying for wisdom in the way that God will give me like mystical answer, do this and do that. It's just a little bit more than release if we think that way. But here is an answer how we can get wisdom in order to make it through trials and order to produce fruit. And in verse 19, we can move on from that. I should have notes somewhere here. But I want to follow my notes a little bit, otherwise I can speak too long. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear or slow to hear, slow to speak. Swift means like fast to hear, slow to speak, slow to write. For the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. And in the letter of Hebrews, there's a definition a little bit about that fruit. So maybe we can check it too, so we can see a little bit like the whole biblical context. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So this is the kind of introduction how we can acquire wisdom. And it starts in the situation that we will face trial. Maybe someone is challenging you, someone disagrees with you, maybe we can be sick, maybe we can fall in short in some capacities and we have difficulties in our lives. Whatever is the situation. Maybe we can have marriage problem and all those things are not something that God has determined. But God is letting us to make free choices, and then we are falling to such situations. And when we find that, then we can pray and we can ask wisdom. And here is the answer, how we can get wisdom. Yes, we need to pray, but if you are seeing the whole thing here, that we need to receive something. And here is the human head, one mouth, two ears, two eyes. So, it means that, and I'm speaking to myself, I have gone lately through certain things, and how we are usually reacting. These people were Jewish people in the Palestine, former members of Jerusalem Jews. They were persecuted. Someone has started well, someone has fallen to serious trials. But this is really fitting for all of us. What we are doing very easily when we are facing trials, even the things. Yes, we're talking, analyzing. We are so occupied with the problem that we're talking. But what we are losing if we are talking, we are not receiving. So we are not getting wisdom to the situation. Mm-hmm. And here is the whole point that we need to listen, we need to receive. And the first thing to do is that we need to be fast to listen. And then we need to be slow to speak, because it's not helping us at all. Because there is no point to talk if you don't receive anything new to the situation. We need to face the facts first. That's true. And we cannot do that by talking and analyzing. We need to calm down. We need to see what is the situation. And then we need to find a solution there. But we are probably in the situation because we have made bad decisions, or we have ended up in the wrong time, in the wrong place, maybe we are hanging around with wrong people, maybe we are like victims of other people's wrong decisions. But we need to have a discernment such things. But if we are keep talking, we are remaining subjective. But if we are calming down, we are facing facts, and we are preparing ourselves to receive. And that's important thing. And then it was mentioned here also that we need to be slow to work. So that's also the thing that maybe sometimes we're not talking, but we're coming to the point that we are introvert, but we are filled with wrath. We are negative, we are very reactive. Maybe we're expressing that through our communication. But that's another thing that is hindering us to receive wisdom. So we need to go that way. We need to set up and we need to calm down and then we need to listen. And why it's listening here, maybe it can be reading the Bible too. But in that time, the New Testament was not ready. They had maybe part of Old Testament in the church, maybe the whole Old Testament. But definitely not all church members had the Old Testament, the Bible. But how they were taught was that the Bible was read and someone was explaining that to people. That was the only source to receive divine interaction to the situations. And it's the same way with us also, that we cannot take a leap of faith and trying to do something, but we need to understand that God has already spoken in the Bible, and we have our Bibles, and we can listen to teaching from the Bible, but also we can read the Bible. So special revelation recorded in the Bible, that's the solution when we are facing trials. That's the real source of wisdom. And we need help in that. We need Bible teaching for sure. But first of all, but that's not benefiting us at all if we're not able to set up, stop talking, and calm down our hearts. So that's very, very important thing. And then we're moving on that we can listen many ways. 21 is teaching us that how we need to listen, how we can receive wisdom in or the Word of God in a special way. Verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. What it means to save our souls. These people were already believers. It doesn't mean eternal salvation. Soul has actually wide meaning in different passages in the Bible. We need to define what soul means in the context. And in the Hebrew context, it means more or less like life. And they are Hebrew Christians. So we can understand that saving the life. Yesterday, we learned from Dave Anderson that in Western Christianity, we have a concept, like a Platonic concept, that soul is in the prison of body. And salvation means pretty much that our soul is released from that prison and lives forever. But that's a Platonic view, which has been put into the Christianity, that there is no purpose for life. Only thing is that eternal life is granted for you. But what happens to us, if you're thinking that way, that we become believers, and that there's no point to be saved from this life, but just, you know, if our souls are eternally saved, what would be proper thing to do? We believe in once saved, always saved, was his methods, jump out of the window. There's no point to live the life and go to heaven. But we're not going to do it. Because this is the whole thing, that we have become Christians, and then it's about our lives. And God wants to transform and renew our lives gradually, so we can be like Christ. And And here is the thing that why he allows us to be in trials, not to escape from them, but to have wisdom that we're coming to the Word of God with right attitude. And here's the point, right attitude. Attitude that we are setting our own self-interest aside, and we're hearing with and reading, and we're careful with that. We're not subjective. And then we're thinking about that our lives in the time can be saved from this world. It's more or less like a preservation of our lives there. And like we are like a constitution, that we have outer man and inner man, and so we're not just bodies, but we our life is much more. And so it's not just preserving physical life, but also our thought life and emotional life and spiritual life and things like that, our motivational life. And so it's about our lives. And that's why we can think about that, whatever is our situation. I think we are going through at least one trial right now. I am going through. And God has really spoken to me, better, please. Thought less, receive more. You need wisdom to these things. And I want to speak from above to you, give you wisdom from above. And so we need to have attitude. And then the verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but the doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. So we need to have right attitude. But then when right attitude produces and think that I'm ready to apply what I have received, I'm a correctable person. I know it's not correct English word, but I'm submit my thought life that I'm ready to be corrected. So if I'm thinking about that there are like steps, column down, then stop talking, keep listening, and start applying. So four steps. So change is building argument. So we're coming from subjectivity, from self or egocentric solution system. We start receiving with right attitude, and then we're thinking about that. Okay, I need to improve in certain areas. And this is an interesting thing I saw from commentary, that what that mirror meant to the people in that time, in the Mediterranean area. And the mirror was used as a figure of speech, of moral instruction. We have in Finland, right, like a sentence, if we have really failed in our lives, that you should look at yourself in the mirror. And that is maybe from the old culture, but maybe it's also in Sweden and other cultures, but that was like a figure of speech of moral instruction. And but if we are seeing ourselves in the mirror, we're making good self-analyze, there's something lacking. And if you're seeing that in the context, maybe we can read a little bit further. If anyone among you thinks he's religious, and religious should think about like outward worship, that better translation. It means how people are seeing my spirituality. Mm-hmm. And of course they cannot see my heart. And doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceive his own heart. This one, religion, is useless. It's not something we're not saying if you're not producing fruit, but it's not useless. It's not useful for us and not for others. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspot from the world. It's pretty much like producing mercy and having relaxed mental attitude. That's all about it. But if we are looking at the mirror and we're seeing that we're not showing mercy, and a little bit self-analyzed, we don't have relaxed mental attitude, we're living under stress, we're living under subjectivity. It's those things are like opposite, that we're called to live in peace with ourselves and God and others. So this is a very important thing. Let's think about that moral instruction in that time and in these times. Look at yourself in the mirror. You have done this yourself. What it means in a moral sense? How we are doing that without God? First thing is that what we are seeing in the mirror is that how others are seeing us. That's like outward thing. That's that religion. How others are seeing us. That's true. But what is the next stage? I start thinking about a little bit that okay, there is a problem, so I'm part of the problem now, I'm not part of the solution. How I am, how I want others to see me. That's like the next inner circle. People don't know what I'm thinking about the situation, at least if I'm not talking. So others, I start to think about, okay, maybe I have some difficulties, they are seeing me like that way. I don't want them to see me like that way. And there is a big gap. What is the third level? Then I start to think about how I want them to see me. And or how I see myself actually. So there is a gap, and I want to think about can I fill the gap. That's the third level, how I'm seeing myself. Mm-hmm. And I can say, okay, I am not a moral person in one area, I am not slow to speak, I'm fast to speak, I'm seeing myself correctly, I need improvement. And that's how natural man, he can go that far. But here we are teaching about receiving divine revelation through the Word of God, like the Holy Spirit can directly teach us. And we have the Bible, we have pastor teachers, all the resources. We have brilliant minds, we can read. Everything is available to us. The Word of God is a real mirror. Mm. And if we are seeing ourselves in that light, then we can add the fourth dimension, which is the deepest, how God is seeing me. Mm. And it's a definition here. It's a perfect law of freedom. Mm. So we are free because there's forgiveness of sins. We have received God's grace freely. It's a free grace. It's not costly grace. It's a free grace. It's not cheap grace. It's a free grace. It's we are absolutely free. Simple as that. And when we are adding that thing there, we can be in the same time correctable and grace-oriented. And those two things, they are linked together. Because we have black spots in our souls, or like one pastor taught, scar tissues. They are things that we're not able to see if we are looking at moral instruction. We are captives of ourselves. So we can go to the whole root. How others are seeing me, how I want them to see me, how I'm seeing myself, but I'm not seeing myself correctly because I am under guilt complex, under shame and different things. But then I'm looking at the mirror and I'm seeing there myself in a way God wants me to see myself. And that's the freedom that I can be a little bit critical to myself, because it's not like a life and death issue. But it's something like it's releasing this. And that means saving the life, because we are relational beings. That we have all these four dimensions. That we are all we are able to go through the whole process. How others are seeing me, how I want them to see me, how I'm seeing myself, and how God is seeing me. I have all these relationships. Relationship with others, relationship with potential, relationship with myself, and especially relationship to God. Mm-hmm. And when I'm able to work through this process with God, looking at the mirror of the Word of God, that saves my life. Mm-hmm. And it's all about that, this letter. And that's a great opportunity for us. So we don't need to live in denial if we are looking at the mirror of the Word of God. And you know, legalistic people, they cannot receive wisdom to their trials, because if they cannot enter to the fourth level. The best situation they can find themselves is some kind of self-realization and self-condemnation. But self-condemnation leads always to self-absorption, and at the end of the day, self-deception. Like Pharisees are a good example to that. They were really deceived by themselves. But here is the solution that we don't need to be like that. And James was especially concerned that they will end up to self-deception. And that's why he wrote this gracious letter. Some guys like Martin Luther, he struggled with the letter, but this is like the greater grace letter. James 4:6 is that God gives to me greater grace. It's a grace after salvation. Post-salvation grace is the deal here. And what it is, it's a wisdom. Mm-hmm. Wisdom through the divine intervention of our lives. And so I really love this letter. And mm-hmm. It really spoke to me today that I found myself here, but I didn't need to condemn myself. I just was ready to stop talking and keep receiving and love it attitude test and then keep applying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.